In his new book, Cannabis, The Illegalization of Weed in America, Box Brown surveys the broad history of marijuana from its role in Hindu mythology to its importation into the Americas by Spain. Brought into the U.S. by Mexican immigrants in the 19th century, marijuana eventually became associated with jazz musicians and inevitably became tainted by a racist social mythology, one that linked weed to violence and sex, which was used to justify legal restrictions of the drug. In his work of graphic nonfiction, Box Brown provides a look at the history, the pharmacological effects and legalization movements surrounding marijuana in North America. Brown is an award-winning graphic novelist and will discuss the new book with Paul Benzin, Associate Professor of English at Skidmore College, tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Box Brown to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Very nice to have you on the program. So what brought you to bring your talent to tell the story of the illegalization of weed in this country?
So I was arrested for cannabis possession when I was 16. It was 1996. And obviously this had a large impact on my immediate life at the time. It was really a very kind of scary experience. You know, it involves obviously being handcuffed and taken down to the station, eventually being released, and court appearances, probation, officers, urine tests, all of these things. And so since then, this whole idea of cannabis being illegal baffled me. Ever since then, it hasn't been far from my gaze watching the legalization process happen.
So what you're looking at is now many states, many states looking to legalize and going through various hoops and trying to get it done and spits and starts. We see this in New York. We saw it in New Jersey. And but I think we can all rightly assume that eventually most states will get there, right? So, right? Would you agree with that?
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. So that's the legalization. And you've decided to look at the illegalization of how we got to this point where it became a forbidden substance in the first place.
Right. So I think it's really important to understand this long, complicated history with cannabis. I think that sometimes people have this idea in their head that cannabis was kind of like discovered or invented by jazz musicians in the 30s or by hippies in the 60s. And really, this is a substance that's been used by the human population since prehistory, since before recorded history. This last 83 years of prohibition has been not the normal thing. It's been an odd thing in the history of cannabis. Because for most of the history of its use, it's been legal.
No, go ahead.
Oh, so we're watching it become legal now slowly, but I think there's a lot of people that are unaware of why it was illegal in the first place. Why is this prohibited? And so I aim to kind of help educate the people on what the reasons were for its original prohibition, and maybe that will help inform their decisions as we move into legalization.
You talk in the book, fairly early in the book, about that there is the monkeys were involved, right? And then the visiting of insane asylums in an attempt to prove that hemp use leads to insanity. And the so it was the physical effects of marijuana that were temporary, that were thought to be or could be permanent. Is that overgeneralization?
Well, I mean, so they did do all these wild tests where they forced rhesus monkey to inhale inhale marijuana like 180 times or something like that, and then they killed it and dissected it to test its brain. But you know, we have these things, this idea that cannabis kind of causes a violent psychosis was something that was made up a long time ago. And it's something we still see today. I mean, there was an article last week by NPR about a study that was done, and the headline made it seem like smoking cannabis causes psychosis. But when you read the study, what we see is that people that are diagnosed with psychosis have a higher use rate of all drugs, including cannabis. And so the headlines get misconstrued all the time. So we still see a lot of this reefer madness stuff popping up all the time, and especially with legalization coming. So, you know, there's stories about cannabis every day.
No, you point this out in the book, and I mean, let us not forget there was a point in this country where we had prohibition on alcohol, too. But you have a headline, I believe, from 1915, and you say newspapers began writing hit pieces on cannabis almost always tied to race. And there is a quote that you say that's clear that prosperous nations are alcohol friendly and the inferior nations consume cannabis.
Yeah, I mean, this is the talk that came about because, you know, this was going on in places where colonialization was happening. Anytime a native population was butting up against a colonial power like the United States or England, so it was happening in India, it was butting up with England, and in America, the Mexican population was butting up with the U.S. population. And so this all comes down to a white nationalist belief that the you know, there are inferior races here, and so when they say Mexican people are smoking cannabis and they're inferior, so people that smoke cannabis must be inferior, or cannabis must make you inferior in some way. These are the type of things that people were saying, and this is the type of stuff that led to prohibition of cannabis. And it's something that we see now as blatant racial propaganda. And so, but we still have people that don't see the law as a racist kind of mistake and are kind of not sure about cannabis and things like that. So I aim to kind of educate, people with this book as well as entertain.
Right.
It is a comic for crying out loud.
Let us not forget, it is a comic. Brown is the author and artist, and the name of the book is Cannabis, the Illegalization of Weed in America. You have an interesting thing in here that the whole jazz rap ultimately came out of... it seems like it came out of Louisiana, came out of New Orleans, and that it wasn't... it was when... the white musician seemed to get hooked on, quote unquote, hooked on marijuana is when people started to get concerned.
Right. I mean, I think that was like, you know, maybe the fear, right? So these are the stories that got out. The big fear that the people had was that if you got too close, these black musicians were smoking cannabis, and if you got too close, you'd become addicted to cannabis too. And so, you know, it was one thing if the black jazz musicians were smoking cannabis, you know, a good white, you know, law-abiding citizen could avoid that. But these scare stories when suddenly a white musician would get arrested for cannabis, it was even more scary and more salacious for headlines and things like that. And, you know, it's all these old racist tropes. I think in the research, it was interesting to me to find that, well, you see it now, right? You know, we see that people of color are arrested at a greater frequency for cannabis than white people, even though use rates are the same. And so you see all that. We have the numbers for that now. But it was interesting to me that it was always, and sad, not just interesting, but you know, a travesty, that it's always been about that, even back, all the way back to the 1930s, and even more maybe then.
When you were, as we've been talking about this, you've been using the word cannabis, and that is the title of the book, mm-hmm. as well. Why not marijuana? And what do you see? Why do you insist on that word cannabis?
So I don't. I use the word cannabis because that's the name of the plant. Marijuana was like a slang term for cannabis. It was like the name of a woman, Maria Juana, or they would also say other female names too, for it. But this came about, and so when they use this in headlines, it is a way. In the 30s, when they were doing this, it was a way to signal to people that this was a Mexican related problem. I try not to use the word, because it's really not, it's not what it is. And it is based on a racist thing. And the other thing is that you kind of have to use it sometimes because it's in a lot of laws, and even current day laws, like the Pennsylvania medical marijuana program. So, it'll take a while, I guess, for that to change.
Now, I'm 51 years old, and so growing up in the 80s, I was inundated with the Just Say No campaign and the Nancy Reagan and going on Different Strokes and that whole thing, mm-hmm. which is, and I'm glad you point this out, but you point this out in the book that, you know, this was the focus instead of the AIDS epidemic, but still. I think that's interesting because, I mean, that's not that far back in our history. It comes toward the end of your book. But this is something that is in our recent history, that there was really this demonization of this drug, which now many states in this country are realizing should be legal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the big problem with the Just Say No campaign and the things that came after it. Aside from the fact that Just Say No is not a real strategy at all, just saying no.
Abstinence, Box. Abstinence.
Yeah. the big problem I see with it was that you're conflating cannabis with much more dangerous drugs. So when you do that and you are teaching kids, these are all dangerous, these are all the same, these are all are very dangerous. Then a few years later, they try cannabis because it's everywhere and unavoidable in a way. And then they see that, oh, this doesn't kill me. And it's actually not even dangerous in the same way that heroin and cocaine are. And so now there's a huge amount of distrust in everything they learned in the Just Say No campaign and their programs, and which you know, maybe leads them to try these other drugs that they were probably lied to about because they were lied to about cannabis. So that's the big problem with conflating cannabis with other drugs like heroin and cocaine.
This is, as you said, you want this book to be fun, and just in our minute or two that we have left, I mean, you've done books on Andre the Giant, you did books on Andy Kaufman, Tetris. So, eventually, did you feel that you would eventually get to cannabis, or because this is somewhat different from what you normally write about?
Well, I mean, I think all my books stem from my obsession, so. I definitely knew that there was a cannabis book coming down the pike for a long time. I also think it was something that I pitched a long time ago, maybe before the Tetris book even. And It was something that my publisher maybe got a little bit warmed up to in the last few years because of the way the conversation has been going.
Well, Box Brown's new book is Cannabis, the Illegalization of Weed in America, and he's going to discuss the new book with Paul Benzin, the assistant professor of English at Skidmore College, tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York. It's northshire.com. Box Brown, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with the book. Have a great time in the Spa City tomorrow, and thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Cannabis, the Illegalization of Weed in America by Box Brown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.